As we begin another edition of the More Abundant Life radio broadcast, I would like you to stay tuned because, as usual, we have a very special program planned for you. The More Abundant Life is a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wentley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for the program, and today we're going to hear part 2 of the title, A Dedication of the Elders. If you heard part 1 of this message, then you will certainly want to stay tuned as we present the conclusion of this message. The message will continue after we hear a very special song by Pastor Wentley Phipps.
In my quiet place, I still see your face. And I hear your voice down in my soul. Lord, I make this vow, and I pray somehow that you will believe me when I say that I'm forever yours, forever yours. I give my life completely. You're mine, and I am forever, forever yours. Before me, you're mine, and I am forever yours.
I can't tell you why I strayed from your side. I pray you my tears away. Ooh. And if we must part, keep this word in your heart. Till we meet again, I'll always be.
You're mine, and I am forever.
master and to the worker. If it bears fruit, good. If it doesn't bear fruit, cut it down. The elders, I want you to know God's going to be looking for fruit. So walk worthy of the vocation with which you were called. Several years ago, one of the organizations of a certain church produced a film, and the question of the film was, what can one man do? The answer is really very simple. By yourself, elders, you can do very little. Somebody say amen. Amen. By yourself, you are not equipped. Don't you try to go on a hospital visitation without Jesus surrounding you. Don't try to go into a time of trial in a family without the presence of God surrounding you. Without Christ, you are not equipped. You're not even inspired. You're not directed. The possibilities with Christ, however, are limitless. They are what? God and one man, God and one woman, you are a majority. You can do so much when God is on your side. So elders, I want to encourage you, guard yourself from doing things which will hurt your conscience, violate your fellowship with God, destroy your self-respect. God has great things planned for your life and your ministry, and it's greater than anything you could ever imagine. I remember reading about Michelangelo one day came into Raphael's studio. He looked at one of Raphael's early drawings, and then he took a piece of chalk, wrote across the drawing, Amplius, which means greater or larger. Raphael's plan was too cramped and narrow. Well, I want you to know, elders, those of you who are part of that royal priesthood, God has greater plans for your ministry than you can even dream of now. He knows what you are capable of in him, and he will not rest until he inspires you and prompts you to do all that you can do for his kingdom. Elders, don't you know it? You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people. Now, God, we've had trouble with that phrase for a long time. Some people think that peculiar means you got to act strange. Amen. You got to look strange. As a matter of fact, God wants you, brothers and sisters, to kind of, when it comes to culture, don't go to either extreme. Amen? He doesn't want you to, well, how can I say this? Don't let your dresses drag the ground, and don't let them, well, let me move on. Amen? Don't go to either extreme. Amen? When God says, I want you to be a peculiar people, the best translation of that phrase is, God wants you to be his own. You are his possession. You belong to him. You are a holy nation. You belong to the kingdom of his church. You are a naturalized citizen of heaven, and your passport is in the mail. Amen? You have already been processed by the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And because of Christ, you are now seen by God as holy. You didn't hear me. Because of his robe of righteousness, the Father sees you as pure, as holy. He says, where sin doth abound, his grace will much more abound. You are a royal priesthood. Turn to that person next to you and say, you are a royal priesthood. You are part of a royal priesthood. You enjoy contact with God. Amen. Now, there's a reason I told you to do that. If we have so many priests, how come we have a shortage of manpower? Are you listening to me? If we've got are you part of this royal priesthood? If we have so many who are part of a royal priesthood, How come we have so many priests sitting on their hands in church? Coming as spectators. Standing on the sidelines. We've got a shortage of priests who work. Oh, you're mighty quiet. Why is it that so many priests feel that the extent of their, I'm talking about you, brothers. I'm talking about you, sister. I'm not just talking about somebody sitting next to you. I'm talking about you. If we have so many who are called to the royal priesthood and you become a part of God's royal priesthood when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, how come you feel that the best way that you can contribute to the mission of the church is by your strong tithe and weak offering? And that's the extent of your involvement. Oh, yes, but you come and sit. Too many people feel that the church work should be carried out by professionals. God uses ordinary people. And just like others cannot believe for you, no one can do the work God has set apart for you, for you. How can I say this? You can't pay anybody to do the work God has set forth for you to do for you. You can do that on your job, but you can't do that in the church. God told me to say that again. You can't pay anybody to do the work God has set apart for you to do for you in His church. You have to do what God has called you to do. If you've given your life to Christ, you're a priest. And every priest has a job. Amen. Say it with me. Every priest has a job. I wish I had a mirror. I wish I had a few hundred mirrors so you can look into it and say it to yourself. Every priest has a job. You are to be a personal witness for Christ. God didn't call you to bring the world to Jesus. He told us, put Christ in your life and take Christ to your world, wherever that world is. Someone said, God's condition for believers' service is not predicated upon if you have the time. Oh, I didn't know the Lord would bring it out this way, but are you going to stay with me this morning for a little bit? The work that priests, and you're a priest, I'm a priest, the work God has called you to do is not contingent upon if you've got the time. Someone once said that men and women fail to see opportunities for ministry because they just don't want to see them. You just don't want to see them. And you know, you're not going to see them if you breeze in here for 11 o'clock service and breeze out. I didn't mean to step on so many toes this morning, but the Lord is just speaking. Amen? Amen? You got a world of people who are battered and bruised. We've got a work to do. Any man who has a religion is going to do one of two things with that religion. Listen carefully. This is from Robert Speer. He said, you're either going to give it up or spread it. Only two things you can do with your faith. You're either going to share it or you're going to give it up. If what you believe is true, if you believe that Christ is coming and souls are dying, you're going to share it if you believe it's true. The only way you can keep your faith vibrant is to give it away. This is not just true for elders and ministers. It's true for every priest. And say it again, I am a priest. I'm a priest. I am part of a royal priesthood. Today it's difficult in some circles to get people to attend church. It's gotta be happening. It's gotta be just right. It's sad when your job is your priority and your service to God is not your priority. Soon this life will be past. Only what you do for God will last. The government will fall. You got a government job, it's going to collapse. You work for AT&T, we're not going to need them in the kingdom. God's got his own cellular system. Amen. Every organization that is human will fail. Soon this life will be past. Only what you do for God will last. And God has a place for you. Yes, you and you. It doesn't really matter where your gifts are. For every Moses, there's an Aaron. For every prophet, there's somebody to hold up the prophet's hand. For every Paul, there's an Apollos. For every Saul, there's a Barnabas. God has given you your talents. He's led you to his church. He asks you to do your part. God says, I need you. If you are going to carry the title, take with it the responsibility. If you're going to be one of my chosen generation, if you're going to be one of my royal priesthood, this is not a spectator sport. I've got work for you to do. You can help educate the young people. Amen. You can be a, so what did David say? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. You can just, you know, and if you don't use your gifts for Christ, you have a responsibility not to complain about those who do. Did you hear me this morning? If you are not using your gifts for Christ, you have a responsibility not to complain over those who are doing their best. Your call to the priesthood of believers is not something to be enjoyed. It is something to be shared. Praise God. Praise God. Now, sometimes the church, before I close, sometimes the church, it'll look like confusion. Because we're all, I'm trying to ask the Lord how direct I can be with you this morning. One of the first things a pastor learns in the church, he learns about the deep-seated emotional needs of people. And as people, we're not all healthy emotionally. I'm trying to finesse this morning. I'm trying not to say we're crazy people. But we act like it sometimes. I was trying, but you weren't getting it. I had to come straight this morning. That's the first thing you learn. You learn that we as human beings are so fragile. You'll sit in a congregation and not call someone's name, and they won't want to come back to church anymore. You'll not recognize somebody. You'll make a mistake, and folks will leave the church for years over stuff like that. They're just that fragile. But God has called us all. My wife's mother used to say, we all have something going for us, and we all have something going against us. Isn't that the truth? Where you are strong, I may be weak. Where I'm strong, you may be weak. But when you take all those chords and you join them together, and then the Holy Ghost wraps his seal around it, you got a cord that will not be broken. God's doing something here at Seabrook. He has been tying us together. Some of us are strong. Some of us need help. But together in Christ, doing our different parts, and sometimes it'll seem like confusion, You know, you ever seen when they were building our house in Columbia, Maryland? We used to go by every day. Anybody ever built a house? You have no idea what they're doing, but something says just go by every day. And you sit there and you pretend like you know something, and you think you're keeping the builders honest, you know? And when you're watching a building being built, sometimes one crew will dig out the foundation. And when you see it happening in a whole community, it looks like confusion sometimes. One crew is digging out a foundation down this street. Another is laying bricks up the street in another house. Another is building walls. Further up the street, somebody's roughing in a house. Looks like confusion, but not to the contractor. The contractor's got it all under control. He's got the blueprint in his hand. When he walks up there, he knows what's going on. Amen? Sometimes when you work for the church and work in the church, it'll seem like confusion. But in all things, God is being glorified. You are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. Now let me ask you, are you working for the Master? Or are you just coming to church? Listen to me. Are you working for the Master? Or are you just coming to church? Every priest has a job. What's yours? What's yours? Everybody has a talent God wants to use. What's yours? In the day of judgment, God is not going to ask you what you did for yourself. He's going to ask you what you did for his kingdom. I read a story as I close today. I want to share it with you about a very famous surgeon. They were visiting up in the Yosemite Park, and they had a church service that was held every week. Well, this chaplain at the park, he had many duties. He would often be seen trimming the trees and feeding the animals, emptying the trash. And he would lead out in the worship service. Well, one day the pianist for the worship service didn't show up. The pianist had car trouble. So he asked for a volunteer from among the worshipers. But just like it is at church, so often, nobody would come forward. One bus driver and a preacher were having a conversation, and the bus driver said to the preacher, "You got a secret I need to know." He said, "How do you get people to keep going back to the back of the church like you do? Folks don't like to, are you with me? Folks don't like to come forward and step up. Use their gifts for God, regardless of what will come." And so he asked if there was a volunteer. There was no response. And then he said, "Is there anyone here who would like to volunteer the musical ability of somebody else?" And a little girl raised a hand, and the chaplain acknowledged her. She said, "My daddy can play the piano." After some hesitation, this tall, dignified looking gentleman came down, famous surgeon, sat at the piano, and as they started to sing, it was clear that he was playing all the hymns accurately with one finger. That's all he knew how to play. But the daughter felt he knew how to play the piano. God's got some one-fingered pianists sitting in the church. And he wants to use your talent.
That brings us to the end of the message for today, part two of the title, A Dedication of the Elders. I do hope that you enjoyed the message and that it's been a blessing to you. If you would like to obtain a copy of today's message, please call the Seabrook Church Office at 301-577-6342. Today you will want to ask for program number 156. That's program number 156, which will give you the title, A Dedication of the Elders, Part 2. The phone number again at the church office is 301-577-6342. Well, until next time, my name is Adrian Westney, Jr. As always, I'd like to wish you God's richest blessings for this week. Please join us again for another program here on The More Abundant Life. But until then, remember the words of John 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.